Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
So this morning we're starting a brand new series simply entitled Powerful in Prayer. And much of 2019, I'll just get you warmed up for the whole year. Much of 2019, we're going to talk about the core values of our church. We're going to talk about what is it that makes us, us. And we want to take a heart check, a self check, to make sure that what we say makes us, us, is what the Word of God says should make us, us. And so these core values are not just some good ideas that a group of people pulled out of a hat. These core values we're preaching about this week are actually straight from the Word of God and what the Bible says the core values of His church should be. Most of them can be found in Acts chapter 2, verse number 42. And the first value I want to speak about this morning, the next couple of weeks, is this value of personal, but more than that, this value of being powerful in prayer. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but even this in the room today, if you don't consider yourself to be powerful in prayer, I'm sure most of us at least have a desire to say, you know, I wish I was powerful in prayer. Matter of fact, I'm going to ask you to take a self-examination this morning on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 meaning that when I bless my food, I'm not really sure if it's blessed. Our 10 means when I pray, I believe God can move the mountain that I'm praying about Him moving. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning I'm not sure if my prayer works at all. Our 10 being that I am completely confident that when I pray, mountains are going to move. On that scale, where do you fall? Now, if you give yourself a 10, you may have a pride issue and not a prayer issue. But here's what I do want to tell you today. No matter where you would consider yourself on a scale of 1, you say, Pastor, I'm not sure when I pray if anything happens. Or whether you're up the scale and you feel pretty good about your prayer life. Here's what I do know that I think we all could agree on is that wouldn't life be better if we were all more powerful in prayer? Amen. Wouldn't that be great if when we prayed, we had more confidence in the prayer that we have? So I'm praying this week, or this year actually, but especially this week as we're taking time out to fast and pray this week. I'm praying, Lord, would you make us a church of increasing power in prayer? I'm praying that your home would be a place of increasing power in prayer, that when you and your kids get together and pray, when you and your spouse get together and pray, when you just pray by yourself at your recliner in the morning or in the evening, wherever it is you meet God, that your home would be a place of increased power in prayer this year. Oh, I just got to tell you, I don't know why this is on my heart, but I got to tell you this so emphatically this morning. God wants your home to be a home that's filled not with just prayer, but with the power of God in your home. He wants that for you. Amen. He wants that for you. God wants your home to be a place of His power and His Spirit. Oh, and I'm praying, God, let 2019 be the year where you don't just pour out your Spirit in the church, but Lord, pour your Spirit in our homes, that when moms and dads pray, they're not just blessing the food, but the blessing of God is filling our lives. Amen. I'm praying that for you this year. God wants us to be a church that is powerful, powerful in prayer. I see Addison's getting up. I'm getting off the screen. I know that's what I'm doing. So I'll get back and I'll behave. But God wants us to be powerful in prayer. And I know you want that for your life. I know you want that for your kids. If anything changed 4 years ago when God gave us our first child, it has to be the fact that my prayer changed. I went from praying not just that things in my life would change, but that my kids' lives would be changed. I believe that prayer is a way that you can affect your kids, not just today, but 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when you exit this life and go to glory, should the Lord tarry. I believe your prayers can affect them even after they're out of your house. I believe that today. So God wants us to be powerful in prayer. And we're going to look at 2 verses of Scripture, James chapter 5. The word says this, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. And it goes on to say, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. And by the way, that terminology, righteous person, does not mean that the prayer of a person who gets everything right is powerful. Because how many know that none of us are going to get things right? That terminology, the prayer of a righteous person, simply means this. It's a person whose sins are forgiven, a person who's trusting Jesus Christ with their life. How many know that if you're trusting Jesus with your life, that you're a righteous person, not because of what you did right, but because of what Jesus did right? Amen? And so you this morning have the potential to be a person of powerful prayer. So I'm praying this year we'll be people who are powerful in prayer. And then in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus actually teaches his disciples how to be powerful in prayer. And when Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, he's actually teaching them how to pray. If you'll read in other gospels, you'll read that he's actually teaching this in response to a question. Jesus was asked this question by his disciples, Lord, would you teach me how to pray? And so they'd heard Jesus pray, and I don't know about you, but have you ever been intimidated by someone's spirituality when they pray? You thought, man, I wish I could pray like them. That had to be how they were felt when Jesus prayed. And so Jesus began to give them instructions. We're going to look at Matthew's Gospels, verse number 5 of chapter 6. And Jesus said, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans. They think they're going to be heard because of their many words. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And I thank you for every man and woman, boy and girl that's in the room today. Any of those watching online today. I'm thankful that you give us this great opportunity to commune with you, to communicate with you, that we don't have to live a life that's just dependent on what your word once said, but we can live a life that's in a real living relationship with your word and with you through prayer. So help us today to become powerful in prayer as people, and powerful in prayer as a church. So Lord, anoint me above my ability to speak the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our lives to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, and we'll give you thanks. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So notice when Jesus started talking about prayer, he didn't say, if you pray. He said what? He said, when you pray. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, prayer is actually not an option. Jesus said, when you pray. It was an expectation that people who follow him would communicate him. They would talk to him. And that's what prayer in the simplest form is. Prayer is simply communication to God. How many know that any relationship where there's not communication has problems? Right? Matter of fact, I know most of you think that I'm too spiritual and Megan's too spiritual to ever have problems in our marriage. Right? Because pastors don't have problems. Right? Did you know that the moment you become a preacher, that God makes all the issues of your life disappear? It's a wonderful thing. Just try it out for a week. It's awesome. But if we did, supposedly, if we'd ever had a problem in our marriage, I can tell you, it would come down to this one thing: communication. I said this. She thought I said that. She said that. I thought she said this. Matter of fact, we do have one. We got into an argument right before we got married. It's only been 20 years ago or so, but you know, to this day, I'm glad she went home to get the kids during the service. So. To this day, I can't share the second service. To this day, I'm pretty sure I said one thing, and she's pretty sure. I'm just telling you, communication can have barriers, can it? Well, if we can have communication problems with the people that we can see with our eyes and hear with these ears and touch with these hands, if we're not spending time in personal prayer with God, who we can't see, whose voice we don't always tangibly hear, then isn't it fair to think we're going to misunderstand what he's doing in our lives today? So for our prayer to be powerful, what I want to tell you this morning is this. For your prayer to be powerful, first your prayer must be personal. Powerful prayer starts with personal prayer. And I want to talk to you, how can we have powerful prayer? Well, before I tell you how we can have powerful prayer, I'm thankful that Jesus tells us what powerful prayer is not. Most of this verse that we just read, that we've read so far, we'll read further down next week. But so far, Jesus has told us what powerful prayer is not. Powerful prayer is not a great performance. Powerful prayer is not a matter of knowing spiritual words. Powerful prayer does not have to be impressive to other people in order for it to be powerful with God. Now, some of you in the room, especially those of the male gender, I'm about to really help you out. Powerful prayer doesn't have to be long. Powerful prayer doesn't have to, please, everybody hear this. Powerful prayer doesn't have to feel powerful to be powerful. I want to say that again. Powerful prayer doesn't have to feel powerful to be powerful. Some of you said, Pastor, sometimes I pray and I don't feel anything. I want to tell you this morning, what you feel doesn't change what God will accomplish if you'll be faithful to pray even when you don't feel anything. Amen? We're called to live a life that walks by faith, not by feelings. Don't get me wrong, I love the feeling. I love when I pray and I feel the presence of the Lord. But I do know this, that God answers my prayers even when I don't feel it. So how can I be powerful in my personal prayer? And how can you and I, see, I believe that, I'm convinced that God wants to use you to be an instrument, or to be a catalyst, to be a change agent for your home, for your family, for our community, and for the world. I believe that this power that comes in prayer, God wants to bring to you, and God wants to work through you so that he can change your home, change your life, the lives of your kids, the lives of those that you spend life with this morning. But in order for us to do that, we've got to welcome it one step at a time. Here's the first thing. If we're going to be people of powerful prayer, the first thing we have to understand is being powerful in prayer occurs as we're personal in prayer. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogue or on the street corner, who love to be seen by people. They love the public appearance of spirituality. Don't be like people who just want the show but don't have any real personal connection to the Lord. Let me say this to you this morning. I want you to understand this about powerful prayer this morning. Every bit of success in your life, success as a parent, success as a husband, as a wife, as a teacher, as whatever it is you do for a living, whatever you want your life to be about, success on every platform of your life is either being strengthened by or sabotaged by the amount of time we spend in prayer or the lack thereof. If you're on a platform of great success today, but you know that personal prayer is missing, you are sabotaging that success you're enjoying today. So I would challenge you to be a person that strengthens it and not a person that sabotages. You know, Jesus did a lot of great exploits in the public eye. He did a lot of miracles in front of people. He did a lot of great things, and crowds would gather and hundreds, if not thousands, of people would see what Jesus was doing. But the Bible says this about Jesus, that he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. What Jesus did in the public was always powered by the personal relationship he had with the Father in private. And so if we want to be personal in prayer, if Jesus needed personal prayer, then let's just be honest enough to say we probably do too. Right? We're probably not more spiritual than Jesus was. Hope that didn't hurt your feelings, but you're probably not. So don't settle for the appearance of a momentary success when God wants to give you eternal results. Don't settle for momentary applause by people when God wants us to have eternal significance. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites who just stand and pray in front of people. Here's what Jesus says. They have their reward. The fact that someone saw them, someone thought, wow, aren't they spiritual? That was their reward. Jesus said, don't be like that. Be a person who comes before me personally, and I will reward you. Because what you do in personal prayer is powerful. Can you imagine with me for just a moment? What if the only time you as a parent told your kids, or what if the only time your spouse told you that they loved you was in public? What if the only time I ever told my wife, I'll put me on the platform since I'm standing here, what if the only time I ever told my wife that I love you was when you were watching? At some point, she would question the validity of what I'm saying to her because of what we do in the private sectors of our lives that sustain and really develop what happens in the public. So we got to be people of personal prayer. Number two this morning is we've got to understand that God is our rewarder. I want to make sure your coffee's working this morning. So if you'll say this with me, I'll know you're awake this morning. On your mark, get set, go. God is my rewarder. Powerful prayer becomes powerful when you understand that God rewards prayer. Jesus said that when you get ready to pray, go to your room, close the door, and the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16 says it like this. Let us approach the throne of God's grace with confidence so that we'll find mercy and we'll find grace in our time of need. Why? God's our rewarder. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Most of us quote this one. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For whoever would come to God must believe that He rewards those who seek Him. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about three different things. He talks about praying. He talks about giving. He talks about fasting. And in all three of those areas, He says this. Do them in secret. And the God that sees you in secret will reward you. I read that and I realize something. That trust in God is the commonality that brings power to those situations. Because we're never going to truly pray with power to where it's only God that sees us and hears us unless we trust that God is the rewarder of our prayers. See, most of us do what we think will work. How many of you went out this past week and you wanted to increase your investment portfolio for 2019 and you took all your retirement, you cashed it out, and you reinvested it in 8-track tapes? No one did that this week. Why? Because you're convinced that's not going to work. You're convinced that's not going to be rewarded. We do what we think will be rewarded. And God says clearly here that when you pray to me, it's not that our prayer earns us things. It's just that God has promised, I'm going to reward those who diligently seek me. So just be people that trust God that He is the rewarder. I was looking this week, just looking through my notes. I told you this before. Sometimes when I pray, I know you don't have this problem, you're a lot more spiritual than I am, but sometimes when I spend time praying, my mind wanders. It's like I don't think about the light bill until I start praying. And I'll think, Father of Heavenly Lights, did I pay that bill this week? And my mind will start going, so I have to do something to keep me. And so I've discovered if I will write out what I'm praying, or if I'll type out what I'm praying, it helps me stay on track. And so a lot of times I'll do that. If I'm having a hard time, I'll just start praying and typing out my prayer, just like I was typing you an email. I'll type God an email and just help me do it. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. You got issues too. That's the last time I tell you something personal. But because I do that a lot, I was just kind of thumbing through about some things I was praying about last year. I turned over to the first week of October of 2017. And in the first week of October 2017, I prayed this. Lord, now if you're new to our church, let me just say this again. The first week of October 2017. First week of October 2017, I prayed this prayer. Lord, if it's your will, for us to have another child, would you speak to us about that? Because we had the desire, we just had no ability. I look back, that was our prayer. First week of October, that was my prayer. First week of October, 2017. Our youngest birthday is November of 2017. So 5 weeks later, God answered what I was praying about that morning. I look back at that, no, I thought, wow. God, you answered this prayer that I was praying about. I began to look at other things. We were praying for a financial miracle here in the church. And Brother Joey, man, God's done that. Brandy, God's done that. These guys were praying with us. Many of you were praying with us. Brother Mike was praying with us. Brother Mark was praying with us. As a church, we were praying about that over a year ago, and God's done that for us. Sometimes you got your hand on the plow and you're believing God for what's in front of you and you forget what God's done behind you. But I want to tell you today, He's a rewarder for those who will diligently seek Him. Amen. He does it. I shared the scripture last week. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God's prepared for those who love Him. I wonder what 2019 has in store for us today. If we'll just remember He's the rewarder of those who seek Him. Why don't you tell your neighbor He's a rewarder? We're not having a week of prayer because it's the religious thing to do. We're not having a week of prayer because hundreds of other churches around the world like ours is doing it. We're having a week of prayer because we believe that God answers prayer. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And He will be, please hear me this morning, God will not be your debtor. He will reward your prayer too. You can be powerful in prayer. And I would like to ask you to pray this with me as a declaration this morning. God, I will be. Come on, let's pray that together. God, I will be. God, I will be powerful in prayer. In 2019. I believe that. That God will help us become powerful in prayer, because here's the last thing I'm going to say real quickly, is that being powerful in prayer is not about having the right words or the right formula. Jesus said, those who like to stand in the synagogues, they think they will be heard because of their many words. One Sunday, we were down front having a prayer time like we often do during worship here, and we had been praying for a lot of people, and I went back to my seat, and the lady from the back of our church got up. She walked up front. She said, Pastor, I would like a copy of your prayer book. I said, what are you talking about? She said, well, I noticed that you prayed for 7 or 8 people, and you prayed something different for every one of them, and so I assume that somewhere in your office you must have a book of prayers that you have memorized. And so I want a copy of your prayer book so I can pray like you pray. Well, she's right. I do have some prayer books in my office, but that's not what I pray over people. I just pray what people, if Brother Doug tells me he has a hurt arm, I pray for a hurt arm. And we trust the Lord to guide us any way beyond that. But in her mind, and it had a lot to do with her background, in her mind there had to be some written formula for God to hear your prayer. But I want to tell you, God's not looking for the right formula. The Bible says that a broken and a contrite heart, he will not despise. That we can come into him and we can let our petitions known before him. We don't need a formula. You know, when my children come to me, they don't have to rehearse what they say to get dad to move on their behalf. I mean, please and thank you goes a long way, but it's not about a formula. Listen, how many know that we're not going to impress God with our fancy words? You're not. We got a guy in who used to attend our church, and he's, matter of fact, I preached his wife's funeral a few weeks ago. But I was just sit in a room. I was sitting in a room voluntarily, I don't know about for hours, but for quite a while, and just listen to him pray. I mean, he is such a, and he's a great man of God, a great man of faith. And when he prays, but just his, the mixture of his voice, his vocabulary, and his faith, I love to hear him pray. Matter of fact, there's been times when I was in the sanctuary with him praying, and I would just stop praying at certain points, and I'd just say, God, what he said. Yeah, what he said, Lord. What he said. Oh, he just said it. It just sounds so much better when he says it than when I say it. But I'm just here to tell you, God doesn't answer our prayers based on how good we sound or because we do or don't know some formula. In 2 Kings, there's a king named Hezekiah, and the word of the Lord came to him and said, hey, get your house in order. Because your season's over, it's time for you to die. And the Bible says this, Hezekiah laying on his deathbed, if you will. The Bible says he turned towards the wall and he prayed. He said, Lord, hear me. Remember how I lived for you. If you'll take Hezekiah's prayer, it's 22 words long. Hezekiah prayed 22 words. And the Bible says before the prophet could leave the building, the Lord spoke to him again and said, turn around, go back and tell him. I'm going to give him 15 more years. He didn't have a formula. He just turned to the wall and had a personal moment with God. Never underestimate what God can do through your personal prayer. You can be powerful. And prayer. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? We're going to pray. Father, I pray this year, in 2019, we would be people who would be more powerful in prayer than ever before. And Lord, we know we're going to become powerful in prayer as we commit ourselves to the process of becoming personal in our prayer. We're going to become powerful in prayer when we loose ourselves of other people's expectations or the need to try to impress someone else or the need to impress you and just trust that you are the rewarder of our lives. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from you, Father. So we're not going to seek other people, other places. We don't have to have the approval of other people. We just need you. So we're just going to seek you because you're the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And we're going to be powerful in prayer, not because we follow a particular formula, but because we focus on knowing you. So help us in 2019 to focus on knowing you. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Perhaps you need to focus on knowing God better today. Because you're sitting in the room today and you've heard me talk for the last 25 minutes about communicating with God and having a relationship with God. But simply put, you don't this morning. You're not right with God. You're not following Jesus as the leader of your life. You've never trusted him to be your Savior, which simply means that you haven't trusted him to eradicate the sins of your past and make you right with God. But today, with Perhaps without any explanation, you just sense the Holy Spirit of God tugging on your heart today and say, hey, today's the day to start walking with God, to get things right with Him. I would love to pray for you this morning. I'm not going to call you forward, but I would love the opportunity to lead you in a prayer today. If that's you, would you just lift a hand and say to me, Pastor, I'm away from God today, but I need to know Him personally. Amen. Secondly today, I want to ask you to look back at me real quickly. Let's be people who determine we will be powerful in prayer. In 2019, we're going to be powerful in prayer. We're going to challenge you to do that this week by upping your game, if you will, when it comes to prayer. We're having a prayer and praise service or prayer and worship service tonight. Where Addison walked you through every morning this week at 5:30. We'll be leading a prayer meeting again at 6:30 evenings this week. Come out to that. I'd also challenge you this week about fasting. And I'm going to give you a simple definition of what fasting is. It simply means you stop feeding your body for the purpose of feeding your spirit. That's the nutshell. And I would challenge you in this way. I would challenge every person. I know some of you are fasting the whole week long. Some of you are fasting 21 days. But I would challenge all of us to take a step. Even if you say, you know, I would challenge you in one of these two ways. Either fast one day this week or one meal a day this week. Just start with that. If you've never fasted before, start there. One day a week or one meal a day. Start there. And it's like I said, it's not a diet. But you take that time when you would be feeding your flesh and you feed your spirit. Well, Pastor, what do I pray about? Well, you could start just by thanking God for all He's done for you in the past, that He is the rewarder. And you just take your needs before and then just spend some time seeking Him. We're going to have a different theme for the day. And so we'll be putting that on Facebook and we'll put it on our Realm app if you're on that. And so you can get the need of the day, the direction of the day that way. But I'll challenge you this week, let's be a people who are seeking the Lord and a people who are determined to be powerful in prayer. Let's change our language from this. Let's no longer say, boy, I wish, Brother Mark, I wish I was powerful in prayer. Let's change from saying, I wish I was a person of powerful prayer, to this, I will be powerful in prayer. Not because of who I am, but because of the power He's made available to every single one of us. Amen? Let's close our service today by starting that journey together. Would you join me by standing today? Let's lift up our hearts. Let's lift our hands to the Lord. And I just want to pray over you before you leave today. And I want to ask you to join me in prayer today. Say, Lord, make me powerful in prayer. Let Him know your desire today. Lord, I want to be powerful in prayer. I want your spirit to come into my home and come into my life and come into our church and come into our businesses like never before. Father, make us powerful through prayer today. Lord, we want to be, and we declare with your help, we will be powerful in prayer from this moment on, because you are a personal God who loves to meet with His people. Lord, you are the rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And so, Lord, when I'm a seeker, that makes me a receiver, because you're going to be the one that makes up the difference. You're going to be the one that rewards us. And Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the friend, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that even when we don't know what to pray, He helps us pray. So this week, we don't have to know certain formulas. We don't have to know all the right answers. All we have to do is seek to know you. And when we seek to know you, the word says in Matthew chapter 6:33 that we'll seek first you and your kingdom, and you take care of all the rest. There's power in prayer, and we declare we will be powerful in prayer. So lead us then. Lead us today, Lord. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.